I'm joined by Emeritus Professor of Politics, Jim Jones, to follow on from our chat a couple of weeks ago on electoral reform. Good morning.
Good morning, Amanda.
Now, specifically, we're looking at the Federal Parliament's Joint Standing Committee on Electoral Matters, the JSCEM, when reviewing the 2025 election.
Yes, and last week, last time we talked about various potential reforms that they're considering at present and submissions. One of their tasks, though, was to review the 2025 election from the perspective of the way in which the election was conducted, what happens at the polling booth on the day. And one of the things that has come out in a fairly big way was from submissions made to the committee, there's about 144 on this particular issue around the sort of level of violence and aggression that volunteers in particular and some voters experienced when they went to vote. Now, this is a sort of significant change from, shall we call it, the vibe of elections in Australia, which are generally, certainly I've not been to a polling booth where it hasn't been sort of quite, people have been happy and sort of festive in a way. And even though, you know, we might drag ourselves there because, you know, it's Saturday morning, what do I want to, anyway, the basic dimension is that the 2025 election saw lots of intimidatory behaviour out of electorate groups coming in to lobby support, as it were, to, from their perspective, perhaps to encourage voters into a particular direction. But for most voters, it was seen as much more intimidating. They felt like in their submissions, like we're running a gauntlet. And it's not just necessarily the volunteers, because when you turn up to a polling booth, there's all these volunteers with how to vote cards, and it sort of feels a bit, you know, I don't want that one or that one, I just want this one. But you feel a bit, oh, I better take them all, just I don't want to offend anyone. But these other groups, and there are a number of them, they were named in the various submissions, but interestingly, the Electoral Commission in the public documents, you know, in putting up people's submissions, for anyone to read, had redacted the names of the political parties that these various groups might have been aligned with. And that's, you know, personally, I think that's probably a little much. I mean, if they're out there lobbying for Party X, then everyone should know that this is the party that they were lobbying for. But a number of these, basically, there are things like voters, you know, as I said, having to run the gauntlet, party volunteers being harassed by these groups coming in to sort of support another party, badgering voters when they're in the queue.
Are they doing that off their own back, or are they sort of signed up volunteers to help on the day?
No, they're not signed up volunteers. These are non-party people.
Okay, so then how can the party be responsible for the voters that are doing that kind of thing?
Parties are, let's put it this way, parties are relatively powerless if somebody comes in and is supporting another party and is harassing their potential voters or any voters who are, you know, coming in to cast their vote. So that's a sort of big issue. I mean, probably the most pronounced electorate was in Kooyong and Goldstein. And in Goldstein, there were death threats to the candidate. There were threats against people who had signs in their yards sort of saying vote one for the teal candidate. I think it was Zoe Daniel. So there was that sort of thing. In Forrest in Western Australia, another group were intimidating voters with various forms of signs. There were a couple of groups, in fact, that their signage was such that voters, when they walked past it, you know, the signage was quite harassing. And
can they get the police involved? Is that a police matter?
No, I don't think so. There are things, though, that the joint party, the joint committee could possibly do. There are sort of solutions that could be done, like, for example, the exclusion zone around the entrance to a polling booth, that's currently 6 metres, and activities cannot happen inside that 6 metre zone. So
6 metres isn't much, though.
No. In Victoria, it's 100 metres. So they could expand the exclusion zone to prevent non-party volunteers and others from doing the wrong thing or being intimidating and so forth. Secondly, they could register all volunteers so that the party makes sure that they know who all their volunteers are. Mm. So if other people turn up and start doing stuff and they're not registered, they're not affiliated, shall we say, with a particular party as a supporter, then they can be moved on. There's a means of enforcing that. There's also regulating the number of signs and so forth. Let me just sort of wrap this up. Of course, in our history, prior to the Australian Electoral Commission and Federation, elections were held in all sorts of rambunctious ways and quite intimidating to voters in various ways. Since Federation, with the Australian Electoral Commission unfolding over, you know, decades, we're at a situation where the elections are fair, free. They seem to be run very efficiently and effectively. Almost anyone who's entitled to vote is able to vote, and the Electoral Commission makes that possible. With people harassing voters and appearing to threaten that process, it undermines everything, and it means that the nature of our democracy suffers as a result. So hopefully the Joint Standing Committee will make a few solid recommendations to reinforce the integrity of the process and to make it safe for volunteers, people handing out how to vote cards, people who are trying to do the right thing and participate in our democracy. Hopefully the committee will push the government along to say make a few reforms that actually reinforce that process.
Well, fingers crossed. When's that taking place?
Won't happen until next year.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess we'll discuss it next year when it happens. Thank you very much, Professor of Politics, Jim Joes.
My pleasure, Amanda.